breaking news, really sad news for all, you know, NRL lovers. Tommy Radonigus has unfortunately passed away. Dobbo, you knew Tommy. We all knew Tommy. Everybody thought he was everyone. Yeah, he's everyone's best mate. What can you tell us about Tommy and really sad day?
Yeah, g'day, guys. It certainly is. And rugby league's lost one of its great characters. Put aside the fact that he was arguably he's in the conversation as one of the greatest players of all time. He played for his country, he played for his state, he coached his state. He obviously was heartland for Wests and for Newtown, but just one of the great blokes of rugby league. And he was terribly tough on the field, but extremely kind off the field. He had an enormous heart. He gave a lot of time to a lot of people, and mate, he will be remembered as one of the great blokes. I mean, we all know that famous call, the cattle dog call, that he used to use when and he was uncompromising on the field. But he had a great eye for detail and a great eye for rugby league players. I mean, one of the stories, and we'll talk about it a bit more later today, is that, you know, in 1986 he was coaching the Ipswich Jets. And in 1985, and he debuted a 17-year-old blonde kid because, against everybody's advice, said, no, this kid will be all right. Well, that kid was Alan Langer. And we know what kind of career Alan Langer had and then went on. And, I mean, he coached the Ipswich Jets from 86 to 88, but he had enough vision in 85 to go against what everybody else thought a halfback should be like, and debut Alan Langer for the Ipswich Jets in the state league. And I just think that people need to remember that, you know, as much as he was a tough nut and as much as he was a phenomenal football brain and was uncompromising, it's a sad day.
It is. And Dobbo, look, I didn't know Tommy too much. You know, during his playing days, I never really followed NRL. I was always AFL. I come up here. You know, had opportunity to meet him at sports lunches. He really gave back to the community, and he was definitely one of those characters. He was a character that absolutely talked up league.
No, he loved it. And whether or not you got him at the fruit markets, or whether or not he was driving a taxi, or he was at one of those sports lunches, he was a phenomenal bloke to talk to. And you're right about giving back to rugby league, whether or not it was a junior carnival he'd go out to, or if they asked him to be a guest speaker. You know, the Mental League is a phenomenal foundation, and he did so much charity work for the Mental League. And look, he did live on the Gold Coast, and he loved Queensland, but he was hated, just like Wally was hated south of the border. Tommy Radonigus was hated up here when he played. Because why was that? Because why did everybody hate Wally? Because he was so good. And why did everybody hate Tommy? Because he was so good. And then he went on and coached, and I mean, We all know what he did, and we've seen the videos of the Fibros face slapping Roy Masters, having all the West Tigers, the Western Suburbs
the Maggies.
Maggies face slapping before they went out for a game and everything like that. Well, Tommy was he led the charge on that, mate. Yes. He was tough as nails, tough as nails.
There was a State of Origin, maybe not before it was State of Origin, there was a match where Tommy played and he was on the reserves bench, and they'd started to pick Stevie Mortimer from Canterbury, and he wasn't happy about it, Tom. And there's a bloke playing halfback for Queensland at the time called Greg Oliphant, and Queensland were winning, and Radonigus was just champing at the bit to get out there, and they put him on early in the second half, and he just walked out and snotted Oliphant immediately. And it turned the game. It really did. It took Queensland's mind off football, and that's the sort of bloke he was. He understood people, and you mentioned Man of the League there. My uncle, Johnny Maxwell, was his name. He played halfback at Western Suburbs just before Tommy joined, and Tommy played 5'8" with my uncle at halfback, and when Johnny got sick towards the end of his life, he got a brain tumour. Radonigus, without consulting anybody, just went straight to the Mental League and looked after Johnny and got his mortgage paid in the last months of his life. And as I said, did that with – I went to the Mental League myself, and they said, Tommy was here months ago, mate.
Oh, wow.
Months ago. Yeah. So fantastic in that way. Yeah. Dobbo, I mean, at the end of his career, he left Wests in the twilight, goes to Newtown, who were nobodies. Yep. They couldn't win anything, and he gets them to a grand final.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. And he always says he got more money in a brown paper bag to go with it. That was the reason he did. But you want to talk about some of the characters. Like, I mean, Radonikis and Mortimer, they used to fight for the halfback spot, yep. even though they were both from New South Wales, and they both made a kangaroo tour together,
mm-hmm.
and they were paired in the same room together,
dumb.
And when Stevie Mortimer, he got all his gear and went out for a run, when he came back, Radonikis had grabbed every single bit of his gear and thrown it out the ninth floor of a window out there and said, go get it. Like, it was all, mate, and you know what, afterwards they can all laugh about it, but it's ironic, you know. I think of Tommy Radonikis and his closest mate is the late, great Arthur Beetson. They were great friends, opposition rivals. And
yeah.
if there's any solace out of today is that he gets to catch up with Artie again. Yeah. And that they and you know, I just hope that everybody remembers him. We have true characters. Sport now, I mean, in spite of you're one of these characters in the sense that you played on and off the field as hard as, and Tommy did. Now the young athletes coming through, they're very much robots in the sense that they're, you know, conditioned to play. They don't try and step outside the flags. Well, Tommy used to, mate. And look, I know the cancer's beaten him, that dreadful disease, but he loved nothing more than having a bunger and a beer after a game and catching up. And if there's anything, he didn't take it as lightheartedly life as what we all probably need to take a leap out of his book in that sense, because he had a lot of fun on and off the field.
As a Queenslander, Dobbo over the years always calling Tommy, oh, he was a stirrer. He knew yeah. how to push my buttons, and he was so good at it because obviously yeah. KP8, state v state. But you're right, the diet of ciggies and beer and footy and those days where they were rough and tough and full of personality, it's a shame. That all of these incredible, you know, personalities.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't that old in the scheme of things when you think of it these days.
No,
really, was
just
he?
Shy of his 71st birthday. Yeah. I feel like if he'd been a modern player that he wouldn't have had to work after he finished, he would have been a very, very wealthy man if he played
sure.
now. Mm.
For sure. 100%. 100%. And you see those blokes. But, I mean, there's a foundation that I go and work at called the Smart Pups, and they're an amazing charity where they give donate dogs to kids with autism and stuff yeah. like that to give them a better quality of life. And Tommy was the biggest advocate. Now, Tommy was going to there's a Smart Pup lunch in Brisbane on the 22nd of this month, and even up to Tommy has been in a coma before he passed for 3 days prior, and on Friday, the bloke who runs this lunch sent an email to Tommy and to his wife just about the dietary requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And the wife came back and said, look, we won't be attending, unfortunately. Tommy's very sick, but you've got to promise me we don't want anybody to know about it.
Oh,
he
is that right?
Was even, yeah, didn't want anybody to know how ill he was. And isn't it funny? Like, it's come up very sudden. Well, he was in a Gold Coast hospital in a coma for 3 days prior. He's been awfully sick the last couple of weeks.
Mm.
And his best friend in the world who's still alive is Dawn Fraser. And isn't that amazing?
Yep.
And she obviously has been very close to this in the last couple of days. But even at his final moments, he didn't want the attention on himself. He was he just wanted to be remembered and go out the way he was. And I think the Dawn's been obviously and spoken last week, and
yeah.
she obviously was aware of this. But two larrikins, Dawn Fraser was a bigger larrikin.
You're not wrong. She's an absolute cracker of a person. My word.
Yes.
Look, it'll be a sad day for my family. We'll all be thinking about Tommy today. And do you reckon he was going along to Smart Pups just so he could yell cattle dog and whack somebody?
Dobbo. All right. Yeah. You can hear more with Dobbo on the Rush Hour Queenslander. You can get the podcast as well on the Listener app. Thanks, Dobbo. And, thanks for bringing us up to speed. Sad day.
Good on you guys. Cheers.